Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Ayin Ches Amar Aleph. Second line. It says the Gemara Tanarabanan, we learned in a Braisa. Hikara Sar B'nei Adam. If 10 people attack the person Besamakles with 10 different sticks, mace, then that the victim passed away. Bein B'ves Achas. Whether they all struck him at the same time, or whether they struck him one after the other, Peturim. In both cases, no one will be chayiv for having killed this individual. Yehuda ben Beseira, whereas the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira is, if it's Bezachaza, if it was done one after the other, then Achron chayiv, the last person who will have struck him will be chayiv. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, even if the people who had struck him previously had already made him into a geisus, into a situation of a person who's about to pass away, still the halacha is the achron is chayiv, neshikires misirsoi, he's the one that ultimately caused the death. So we have here machlokes tanoim, if 10 people hit him one after the other, if the last one is chayiv or not. And Rashi explains, the reason that, but in the case where they all hit him at the same time, then there's no question that they're all going to be potter. And Rashi explains, because the pasuk says, ish kiyaka, so we learn from that pasuk, only one murderer, v'loshnaim shikul, not if there are two people who struck him. The Yad Ramah says, another drasha, how we learn this halacha, because the pasuk says, nefesh tachas nefesh, v'loy shtein nefashas tachas nefesh, it's one at a time, not more. Rashi in Masech Baba Kama says that the reason if two people struck him at the same time and he died, we don't know, we can't punish either, because we don't really know who is the murderer. The Dvar Avram explains that according to Rabbanan, the reason when two people kill him at the same time, then it's considered that each one of them did miksas nefesh, only they took away part of his life. And if somebody did took away somebody only part of his life, he is not considered a murderer. The Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha if two people join together in one maisa, if we'll also say under those circumstances that it's considered like two people did at the same time. Tosfos' opinion is that even when two people together did one act, it's still considered like two people killed him, that we just finished learning that everybody agrees you wouldn't be chayiv. The Rashba's opinion, however, is that if two people participated in one act of murder at the same time, then they would both be mechayiv. And the Dvar Avram explains what is the basis of this machloikis. He connects it to the question that we just learned. Why is the halacha of two people killed somebody at the same time that they're potter? According to Rashi, it's because the pasuk says, ish kiyaka, v'loshnaim, there's a special limud that has to be only one murderer. So when two people combine, even in one act, it's no longer ish kiyaka. And that is the opinion of Tosfos as well. However, according to the Rashi Masechta Baba Kama, that says that the reason when two people killed, they're not chayiv, because we don't know who the murderer is, but when two people killed him at the same time, we do know who the murderer is. They're both the murderers. That's why the Rashba says they would be chayiv. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so we began a machloikis where 10 people attacked a person, struck a person, and he died after the 10th blow. Will the 10th one be chayiv or not? Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, v'shnei mekra chadarshu. They both based their opinions on the same pasuk. The pasuk says, v'ish kiyaka kol enefesh adam mos yumas. So says the Gemara, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan of the opinion, ad kol nefesh, that a person is not considered a murderer unless he did add the ikka kol nefesh. He has to be the one that completely eliminated this person. And in this case, there was no one individual, who completely eliminated this individual. Rabbi Yochanan b'Seira Sava, but is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan b'Seira, call nefesh, call duman and nefesh. Anybody who had any involvement in that killing is enough to be chayiv. And Rabbi Yochanan brings this pasuk, and it's interesting. I saw that the Rishonim point out they're learning from the same pasuk; they just have a different interpretation of the word kol. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, Hakol Moedim. Everybody agrees that b'chayrig is a treifa. If somebody killed an individual who's a treifa, we know that Chazal, primarily based in Masechta Chulin, identify different defects that are called a treifa. That the halacha is that a treifa is an individual who has a defect that cannot survive, that has a defect that cannot survive past 12 months. And the Gemara says that if this individual who was killed is a treifa, everybody will agree that somebody who kills a treifa, shupater, is not considered a murderer. On the other hand, furthermore, begoisib de shemayim, that means if somebody got very ill, and to the degree that he's so ill that he is a geisus, he's deathly ill, but it wasn't because somebody did that to him. He just is ill, and he got to that state, shuchayiv. Since there's nothing else that caused this murder, so then the murderer is considered a murderer. Loyet nechleku, where do we have machloikis tanoim? El begoisib de adam, where somebody was struck to the degree that that individual became a geisus, and now somebody else completed the murder. Mam damalele treifa, the Rabbanan consider that the same as killing a treifa. Well, mam damale, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira considers it that it's similar to geisus b'day shemayim, and therefore somebody who's a geisus b'day shemayim, has a geisus b'day adam, is treated like a geisus b'day shemayim. And therefore, in both cases, whoever is the one that strikes him is chayiv. And the Gemara explains the machlokes. Ma'am damalei l'treifa, the one that compares a geisus b'day adam to a treifa, asked the Gemara, my tamalei damalei l'geisus b'day shemayim, why does he not consider him similar to a geisus b'day shemayim? Answers the Gemara, geisus b'day shemayim lois ava b'masa. There was no human intervention that caused him to become. There was no human intervention that became to become a geisus. Whereas geisus b'day adam has avid by ma'isa, something caused them to become a geisus, and therefore, since the first person who did something was the one that began this act, the second one is not considered a full fledged murderer. Oman the madamalei the geisus b'day shemayim. The opinion that compares a geisus b'day adam to geisus b'day shemayim, my tamalei medamalei a treifa, why doesn't he consider him like a treifa? Answers the Gemara, treifa mechatri simonim. The treifa is a person who the halacha does not consider like a living human being. Ha, a geisus b'day lemechatri simonim. Even though the geisus is most likely to die, it's not for sure that he's going to die. He's not the same. He's not the same as a treifa. And therefore, the geisus b'day. Therefore, he is chayiv. The question is: how do we determine if a person is a treifa? So Rashi and the Rambam even more explicitly are of the opinion that an individual is not considered a treifa unless a Talmud Chacham is the one that identified him to be a treifa. And this is a very relevant question, because what's going to be the halacha if a doctor identified an individual to be a treifa? Will the halacha consider him a treifa? It seems that according to Rashi and the Rambam, it would be not enough to be considered him a treifa. And that's one of the reasons that, according to the Rambam, it was critical that on the Sanhedrin, there should be people who have medical knowledge. Because according to the Rambam, a person cannot be considered qualified to make this determination if somebody's a treifa or not, unless he has that medical background. And the question, of course, that comes up is that, as I said, the Gemara in Masechta Chulin identifies who is a treifa. And the question is, are the same, the two questions, are the same people who are treifa, for what is what considered a treifa for Hilchas Kashrus, Hilchas Treifas, the same as the what are the standards of a treifa by a human being? And moreover, the question is that the nowadays, there are some individuals who, if we followed what it says in the Gemara Masechta Chulin, would be considered a treifa, but what considered what doctors say today are not considered a treifa. This is really a very significant machloikus. Shabina Rav says that if somebody is ill, but doctors say that he can recover, even though according to the Gemara he's a treifa, that if doctors, and again we probably would have to say that doctors mean whoever the Gemara identifies as a doctor, will not be considered a that individual will not be considered a treifa. Chazanish seems to learn that a treifa is whatever Chazal established to being a treifa in the time of Chazal, and even though that individual today, maybe the doctors would not consider him a treifa, the halacha still considers him. The halacha still considers him a treifa. So as we've learned, that Rava has differentiated a goyses b'day shemayim, that somebody who kills him is chayiv for skila, whereas a goyses b'day adam, he's not. Because the person who killed the goyses b'day adam has really not done something that killed him, because he was already suffering from the before. Some Sefer says, asks the following question. He says, the Gemara Masechta Nazir, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, tells us that there's a Isser for a Kohen to come in contact with a Goyses. Just like a Kohen may not come into contact with a dead person. Says the Rosh there in the Gemara, that Isser for a Kohen to come in contact with a Goyses is only to a Goyses B'day Shemayim. But somebody who is a Goyses B'day Adam is a person that the Kohen can come in contact with. Asked Avni Nezer, so from that Gemara it seems that a Goyses B'day Shemayim is closer to death than the Goyses B'day Adam. And our Gemara seems to say that a Goyses B'day Adam is closer to death than the Goyses B'day Shemayim. How is that reconciled? Says the Avni Nezer, yes, our Gemara seems to indicate that a Goyses B'day Adam is more likely to die than a Goyses B'day Shemayim. But he says, when it comes to the halacha of Tumah, he says that the Zohar explains the reason that a dead body gives off Tumah really is connected to how the person passed away. He says, the Ramban says that a person becomes Tumah upon his death due to the fact that he came in contact with a Malach HaMavis. Says the Zohar, that only a person who dies by natural means has that connection to the Malach HaMavis. So explains the Avni Nezer, the two Gemaras that we're learning are very much connected. Our Gemara is speaking about what is considered an act of of killing. So in our Gemara, when we speak about a Goyses B'day Adam, he's closer to death than a Goyses B'day Shemayim. That Gemara is focused on the Tumah element. When we speak about the Tumah element, there the halach is that the Goyses B'day Shemayim is closer to Tumah than the Goyses B'day Adam. Says the Gemara, Tana Tana Kamed Rav Sheshes. We learned in a Brayse by Rav Sheshes. The Pasuk says, Vish ki yaka kol nefesh Adam, mois yumas. The fact that the Pasuk used the word kol nefesh, if somebody struck somebody else, and the first act did not have enough to kill the person, or ba achva misoi, and the second person killed him, shuchayiv. Ask the Gemara if the first act, eibay kedei lehamis, was not strong enough to kill the person, pshita, that the first person really didn't do anything, and it's the second person who did everything. So that can't be what the Brais is teaching us. Ella, it must be the yesh be kedei lehamis, that the first act could have killed the person. And then ba'achav emisoi, and then somebody else killed him, shehu chayiv. Why? Because that Brais follows the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira, that we began now saying that somebody who's a geisus bei adam, even if somebody kills a geisus bei adam, he's chayiv. Continues the Gemara Amar Rabba Ha'irik, it's a treifa. As we've been learning, somebody who kills a treifa, potter, he's not chayiv for killing, because the act that he did is, like we've said in the shiur previously, that is not considered like you killed somebody, because it's not considered an act of ritzicha, because it's only considered an act of ritzicha if you're killing a living person. This person, according to the halacha, is not considered a living person. And there's an interesting machloikus rishonim. If somebody kills an individual who rachman tzlan is a treifa, the question is, will he be chayiv b'dei shemayim for what he did, or will he not even be chayiv b'dei shemayim? If, as we're explaining now, that the halacha views a treif as it is as an individual who's not even alive, so then the halacha ought to be that if somebody kills a treifa, he's not even chayiv b'dei shemayim. And that's, in fact, what the Michas Sinach says. The Rambam and the Meiri disagree, and they say that if somebody kills a treifa, he is chayiv b'dei shemayim. And there would be another nafkamina. What would be the halacha if somebody is attempting to kill a treifa? So will that individual be considered a roidef? If we say that killing a treifa doesn't even carry a punishment b'dei shemayim, the person trying to kill the treifa would not be considered a roidef. If we say that it's not because he's not considered a living person, it's just that he doesn't have enough life that you should be chayiv b'dei adam, then he would be considered a roidev. Treifa shaharig b'fnei bezdin. But now the Gemara talks about another situation where a treifa killed somebody, an individual who is a treifa killed somebody in front of bezdin. That person, even though he's a treifa, he's chayiv. But if he did it shloi b'nei bezdin, if he didn't do it in front of a bezdin, he just did it in front of two edim, he would be potter. And the Gemara and Rava explains what's the basis for this differentiation. Bifnei bezdin chayiv, the ksiv v'atim rabbi kubecha. There's a chayiv of v'atim rabbi becha, and bezdin saw that somebody did such a horrible act of murder. Bezdin have an obligation to take the action of eliminating such a person. And the way I saw Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explains the Gemara, he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Makos Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph that says that if Sanhedrin saw somebody kill somebody else, that Sanhedrin cannot be the body that will judge that person. Rather, that the person will have to go to another Bezdin. So why over here is the Gemara telling us that Bezdin that sees it just kills the person because of Ata Mira Mikubecha? So he says that the simple teretz is that when there's no option to go to another Bezdin, that's when we have Be'atim Rami Kubecha. But then he explains that there are two concepts. If Bezdin is approaching this as a Bezdin situation, so Bezdin that saw the murderer should not be the one to make that determination. But if Bezdin is not approaching this as a Bezdin, they're approaching it because of Be'atim Rami Kubecha, then we don't have to bring another Bezdin involved. But, continues the Gemara, if there was this act of murder happened shloi b'fnei bezdin, potter. Davalei edus yatu yochel azima. V'kol edus yatu yochel azima lo shmei edus. What is the concept between, we've learned many times that if two edim come and say testimony against somebody, and then those edim become edim zomimim, the loch is v'sisim loi kashu zomim la'asas lochiv. Whatever was supposed to happen to him, whatever was supposed to happen to that person that they said testimony against should happen to the Edom Zomerim. So here, where they said Edom Zomerim, where they said testimony, and based on their testimony, this individual should have been put to death. But that's not the case. Because as far as the halacha is concerned, as we said a moment ago, he's not there. He's already dead. So you can't say they put the person to death because he's already dead. And since he's already considered dead, it's not considered that they're subject to be able to be served to be Edom Shati Yochel Zima. The Michsalozer was asked a question where somebody was sentenced to death in Besdin, and then he became a shoita. Is Besdin going to kill him or not? Do we say that our Gemara, explains the Michsalozer, introduced a new concept? Our Gemara introduced that when Besdin kill a murderer, there's two ways that Besdin approaches it. One way Besdin approaches it, in their role as a Besdin, where Besdin has to paskin, and if they see it's a proper psak, they kill a person. But there's another approach to what Besdin does, and that's the approach of v'yata ra mikabecha. If the vart is v'yata ra mikabecha, the fact that this person unfortunately became a shoita, doesn't, the halacha is, then we have to kill this, we have to kill this person to eliminate the ra. And that's why I think the halacha is that if we can't give the einish that the Torah prescribes, we do a different type of einish. Why? Because the halacha is uvi'arta ra lekibecha, we have to eliminate the ra, and we have to do whatever we can to eliminate the ra. Vamar Rav, and Rav teaches us another halacha. Harayva es hatreifa. If there was mishkav zachar between a person who's a treifa and an animal, or chayiv, the person is chayiv. If treifa shirava b'fnei bezdin chayiv shlo b'fnei bezdin potter. And then Gemara explains again. B'fnei bezdin chayiv, because we will be accomplishing uv'atar rav mekabecha. Shaloi b'fnei bezdin, if it didn't happen in front of Besdin, but in front of Eidim Potter. Again, for the same reason, because this is an Eidim Shiatu Yochel Azima. Ask the Gemara, but why was it necessary to give us two different examples of the same concept? Hasulamali, ask the Gemara, Hanohach, on both examples that we learned essentially the exact same, answers the Gemara, Arayvas Atreif Itzrukhalei. We had to learn the Chiddush, that if somebody had this relationship with a treifa, he's chayiv. Says the Gemara, why? Because if we're learning throughout our shir that the treif is considered like a dead person, madatayim will have a command of mishamish meis. And just like if somebody did tashmish with a person who's dead, there's no chiv, so there should be no chiv here either. Kamashmalam, so Gemara teaches us a chiddush. The Gemara teaches us that when somebody does an act of mishk of zachar, the einish that he gets is for the act. For the act that he did, for the hanah that he got, and the fact that the victim was a treifa doesn't mean that there was no hanah. Next, Edom shehidu betreifa. If two Edom walk into Besdin and say that a treifa did an avera for which there would be a chiyuv misa, and based on their testimony, this person was sentenced to death. And then Huzmu, and then those Edom, they became Edom Zomim, Einar Nerogim. Why? Because as we've been learning, because they did not, their testimony was against a dead person. And the halach of Asisim Lekashu Zom Lassis Lachiv is only when they wanted to have a person who the halach of views as a living person killed. Here they didn't want to kill a person who the halach of views as a living person. However, Ede treifa shuzma, if Edom that a treifa said edus against a healthy person, then there is narogim. But says Ravashi, Rashi disagrees, and he says afilu ede treifa, if the Edom are a treifa, also a narogim. Often when we speak about the halacha of Edom Zomimim. The halacha speaks about Zomim and Zomimim. What's the halacha of these people who are Edom Zomimim, who were identified as Edom Zomimim? Now other people come along and say, well, they weren't Edom Zomimim. The first pair is the guilty pair, and the second pair are the innocent pair. But here, the second pair who said testimony are treifa. So they wouldn't be able, the people who are trying to discredit them, were not trying to discredit living people. Since they weren't trying to discredit living people, they were trying to discredit a treifa, that's why it's not considered an act of Zomimim, and they also would not, if the Edim who said testimony of treifa, there's also no halacha of Edim Zomimim. So now that our Gemara has said over and over is that a treifa is not considered a living person, what's going to be the halacha if somebody draws blood from a treifa on Shabbos? We know that there's a melacha involved in taking out the blood of a person on Shabbos, but this person may be not considered a living person. It's the subject of a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that it's not considered an act of killing. The reason it's not considered an act of killing because the person is not considered a living person. Other rishonim say that there's a special halacha in our Gemara that as far as murder is concerned, that if you murder a treifa, it's not considered that you did an act of murder. But that doesn't mean that a treifa is not a living person. For example, what would be the halacha if somebody passed away and he left over a child, but the child is a treifa? So we know that the halacha is that if somebody dies without children, his wife has to have yibum chalitza. If somebody dies without children, his wife does not have to have yibum. If he dies without children, his wife has to have yibum chalitza. If he dies with children, his wife does not have to have yibum chalitza. What's the halacha of the child that was left over is a treifa? So the Reb Chaim Oizen, the Shas Tshuvas Achiezer, says that, again, a treifa is a special rule that he's not chai, there's no chiyuv misa for killing a treifa. But that does not mean that a treifa is not a living person. And therefore, if there's a child who's a treifa, the halacha views it as if they left over a child. Says the Gemara Vamarova, shor treifa, if an animal who's a treifa, horig, killed a person, chayiv. V'shor shal adam treifa shahorig, but if the animal that belongs to an individual who's a treifa killed somebody, the animal is pot. There's no chiv. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, how do we understand this halacha? Amakra, to which the Gemara explains, the pasuk speaks about that if somebody, animal, kills somebody, the Torah uses the words in Parshas Mishpatim, Hashor Yisokol V'gam Ba'al of Yumas. Kol Eichad the Kriin Bei V'gam Ba'al of Yumas, where when the owner would be chayiv misa, kriin be hashor yisakel. V'kolechad the loy kriin be a value mumus. In a case where the owner would not be killed, the kriin be hashor yisakel, then we don't kill the shor. So since here in our case that we just spoke about, the owner of the animal is a treifa, and if a treifa killed somebody, the halacha is, as we just said, he wouldn't be chayiv misa. So too, the shor that killed somebody of a treifa, the shor of a treifa killed somebody, the shor is not killed. Rav Hashem, feel shor shel treifa nami, shaharig is potter. Even if the animal itself is a treifa, there would be no chiyuv misa on the shor. My tama, kiven de al ba'alim, just like the owner, if the owner is a treifa, he's not chayiv if he kills somebody, shor treifa, the shor which is a treifa is also potter. Says, we learned in the Mishnah, Shisubas a caliph, if somebody instigated a dog against somebody else, the person who instigated the dog, says the Gemara, is potter. But if somebody instigated a snake, we had a machloikus. Rav Yehuda machayiv, v'chama poitrim. Says the Gemara, Amar of Achabar Yaakov, Shtim Tzolaymer, when we try to analyze this halacha, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, how do we understand the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum regarding the snake? So it says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Oda Eres Nechash Ben Shinafu, the poison of the snake is right by its teeth. So if that's the case, when somebody puts those teeth on somebody else, he did an act of murder. It's no different than stabbing the person. Lefikach hamakish sayif, the person who did this act is considered a murderer, and he's chay misa, and a murderer is chay misa sayif. The nachash is considered potter because the nachash did not do anything. L'divrei chacham, eres nachash mi'atzma humakia. It's not the human that causes the venom to come out. Lefikach nachash beskila, it's considered as if the nachash did the murder, the makish potter. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, because there's a fundamental question here. How could you have a machloikis? Where is the venom of the snake? So the way I saw the Tveris Yisrael explain this Gemara, everybody recognizes that the snake's venom are in its long teeth. There's a question, where does it come out of? Does it come out directly from the teeth by itself? Or does it have to get drawn into the teeth? And that's the nafkamina, if it's considered that the snake is the murderer or the person is the murderer. Says the Mishnah, Hamakas chaveroi, if somebody strikes somebody else, bein be'evin, with a stone, bein be'egrav, with a fist, from du'ala misa. And Bezdin identified that this person, identified that this person will not survive. V'heikel, and then the person got better, mima shahaya, from where he was at the beginning, and then afterwards, hechbid, he again got sick, umeis. The halacha is chayiv, that the murderer is considered an act of murder. Because since at the beginning it was considered an act that would bring Misa, and he ultimately died, it's considered that the murderer killed him. Rabbi Nechemya says that he's not considered a murderer, because Shereglayim Ladova, the fact that this person got better in between is an indication that it wasn't his act that killed the person. Because if it was his act, then why didn't he die? Why did he get better in between? Which this opens another interesting question in halacha. The halacha is that there's a minig that is a well-known minig that if somebody gets very sick, under certain circumstances, that they change his name. It's based on a Gemara Masecht Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tez Zayin Amabeis. And the Shulchan Aruch, in Evan Ezra Simen Kuf Chav Tez Sif Yud Ches, says, Misha Nishtana Shemai Mach Mischoili, if somebody unfortunately was ill and they changed his name, Afikav Shekarna Sotamib Shem Rishon, even though he was always called by the first name, that if he's called by the second name, that becomes his name. And if, for example, he's writing a get, and in the writing of a get, we have to be most particular in the way his name is written, we would write the new name. And the Poskim identify different situations. If somebody's name was changed, and then right after his name was changed and nobody's familiar of the change, we write a get. The halacha is that we should only use the first name. If he has the new name for a couple of days, but he hasn't yet gotten better, then we should write the new name. If he, Baruch Hashem, got better, then for sure this new name is his primary name. So now the question is, as we just learned in our Gemara, the halacha differentiates, as Mishnah just taught us, if he got better or he didn't get better. So now what's going to be the halacha if somebody's name was changed, but he really never got better, but he had that new name for a while? What would be the halacha? And Paiskim seemed to be of the opinion that even if he unfortunately never got better, then the fact that he had that new name for a while the halacha says that that's considered his name. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer Derech Sicha, wants to connect the question that we're discussing, how does the halacha look at that name, into the machloikis of what we just learned in our Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya says the fact that he got better even for a short amount of time is an indication that he really got better. And since it's an indication, he says, that he got better, so then the new name remains. If, however, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, like, again, according to Rabbanan, it's only, according to Rabbanan, even if he got better, but if he ultimately died and we attribute his death to the original disease, so then Rav Chaim Kanievsky suggests that Rabbanan would say, we don't adapt the second name. Tana Rabbanan, Es Zu Darash Rav Nechemya. The Gemara, this was the basis for Rav Nechemya's opinion. The Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, the Chiruvin Anoshim, Vika Ishas Re'eyu Be'evan or Be'egrif, the Loyomus, the Nafal Mishkam, Im Yokim Vishalach Bechutz, Al Mishtanta, the Nika Maka. That the Pasuk says, if he gets better, the person who struck him is Potter. Says the Gemara, what is this pasuk? Ask the Gemara, what is this pasuk teaching us? That we have a situation that the person got better, and the murderer should have to be punished. Ella, what must be the case? That the person struck him, and they said that this he's going to die, and then vehikel mashahaya, and then Baruch Hashem he got better, and then. And then he reversed back to being ill. Shupater. So we see this is the basis for the opinion of Nechemya that if he got better in between, the murderer will not be chayiv. Ask the Gemara Rabbanon who disagree with Rav Nechemya. Hi, v'nika makamai darshbei. What will they do with this pasuk? Says the Gemara, the pasuk according to Rabbanon is coming to teach us that if they said that this person, this victim is going to die. And then he didn't die. They put the murderer, the attacker, into jail, that he shouldn't be able to run away. And now we see what it's going to be. Will, if the victim, Baruch Hashem, gets better, they free him? And if not, they will have him available to punish him. The Dvar Avram, in understanding what the Rabbanim just say, try to understand. Do we say that this is to be viewed as a kula, a leniency? That really the murderer ought to be murdered, but we're giving him a chance to see if the victim will get better, or is it a chumrah? If this person got better, we should let the murderer out, but we're not going to be so quick. So he says that the ramp from the Tosfos, it seems, that the pasuk is being lenient. We're not so quick to quill the murderer. Others say that we look at it as a chumrah, that instead of just letting the murderer out, we're going to wait to see what happens. Ask the Gemara, and according to Rav Nechemya, that certainly the Gemara suggesting Rav Nechemya will agree that this putting the murderer into prison to see what's going to happen is everybody agrees we do. So ask the Gemara, Rav Nechemya Chavishim Menolei, where does he know that this is what's done? Says the Gemara, Yal Mekoshish. We know that Mekoshish was the person who was Mechal Shabbos in the Midbar. And the pasuk says, "V'hiu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar v'yimtzu ish mikoshes eish b'yom haShabbos v'yignichu b'mishpar k'loy plash mayasaloi." So we already see this concept that we don't know what to do. We put this person into prison. So ask the Gemara. So we already have a precedent for this. So ask the Gemara. Rabbanan nami lufin mikoshes. Why didn't the Rabbanan learn from that pasuk? Answers the Gemara. It's not the same. Mikoshes. There was no question. Says that the Gemara, that the Mekoshish was Chayiv Misa. Because the Torah says, Mechalalei Mois Yumas. It just, Moshe Lo'yavayada, Moshe just wasn't certain, Ketole B'mai, what type of Misa was he Chayiv? Lefukei Hai, when we have this person, that we don't know if the victim is going to die or not, the Lo'yadine Ba'ketole Hu'ilai Ba'ketula. So it's not two similar situations. So, the Mefarshim ask, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know? If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, he should have assumed that he's chayiv chenek, because we learned b'kol ha-Torah kula that when the Torah says misa and it doesn't identify which type of misa, as Tosfos, we always assume that it's chenek. So why over here it wasn't automatically the Moshe Rabbeinu should assume that it's chenek? So Tosfos answers, because Michal Shabbos is somebody who's a kaifa baker, he shows that he's an apikiris, he's like somebody who's an oved avodah zara. And we know, as we've learned in our Masechta, that an oved avodah zara is chayiv skila. That's what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to question then he's chayiv, that maybe he's chayiv misa. Maybe he's chayiv skila, and that's why Moshe needed to find out what really is the case. Furthermore, how did he get Hasra if they don't know what misa he had? So, of course, the Pashup Shad is that the whole story of Mekoshes is a very unique story. The Mekoshes was Mechal Shabbos to show Klal Yisrael how serious Chil Shabbos was. Another Pshat is that even though there's a chiv to give proper Asra, many of the opinion, as long as you say what you're going to do is brings a chiv misa with it, even if you didn't say which misa, you kill him, says the Gemara of Nechemya. So now that the Gemara is saying that Mekoshish and Ritzayach are not the same, so we come and ask, how come Nechemya learned the halacha of an imprisoning a murderer from Mekoshish, when our Gemara just said that they're not the same? Nechemya learns it from the halacha of a Megadif. The Pasuk says, V'yikav ben Isha Yisrael as Hashem, V'yikal v'yivio Yisrael Moshe, V'yinechiv b'mishpil of Freish Lama Pi Hashem, he was put in prison till they found out of his Chai Misa. Because the Lava Yadei back to Lahu, they didn't know if he's Chai Misa, and therefore Chavshua. So we see that when we don't know, we put him in prison. Rabbanan, so why can't the Rabbanan learn the halacha of Chavisha, of putting him in prison from a Gadif? Says the Gemara, the Rabbanan say that whole case was a Rasha, was something that we can't know, because they didn't know if he's Chayiv Misa. So since he didn't know if he's Chayiv Misa, they could not have given a proper Hasra. So we can't bring a Rai from that case. Kiritanya, and the Brisa says, Yudeya Moshe Mekoshes, B'misa. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekoshes is Chai Misa, because Nema, the Torah says explicitly, Mechale Moshumas. Just the point was, Eloyedeh Be'ezim Misa Nerik. He didn't know what Misa he's going to get. Shnemar, V'yinechuevus B'mishpah, Kiloy Parish, Mayasalai. We didn't know which Misa is going to get. Av Megadif, when we speak about a Megadif, Loy Nema Ba'el V'yinechuev B'mishpah, Lifish Lama Pi Hashem. They doesn't say Lifish Lahem Mayasalai. There was a much whole different situation. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even aware in Ben Misa Klal Ikrim Lav if he's Chayiv Misa altogether. The Gemara teaches us that the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, V'chi Yiriv Anoshim, when two people are in battle, V'ki Ish Yisra'eyu, and one strikes the other person, B'evin HaBe'egrif, V'lo Yomas V'nof V'lamishkev, Im Yokim V'sal B'chutz HaMishantai, V'nika Hamakar Shifta Yitain V'rapa Yirapa. The Pasuk is teaching us that if somebody strikes somebody else, he has to pay Shevis Ripa, Shifta Yitain V'rapa Yirapa. So the question is, V'lo Yomas. Why was it necessary for the Pasuk to say V'lo Yomas? Of course, if the victim died, the perpetrator is a murderer. And furthermore, what's the Pasuk coming to teach us? It seems that all of this is superfluous. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Ram Nechemya, that according to Nechemya, that if somebody was identified that he's going to be, that the victim is supposed to die, and then he got better, the murderer will not be Chai Misa. That's why, says the Gemara, Heinex of Trei Umdani. That's why the Pasuk uses all of these stories. Chanam Dula Misa. One is where he was identified that he's supposed to die, and then he lived. So then, of course, the murderer is not Chai Misa. V'chad, I want us to come to teach us that Amdula Misa, when he was identified that the victim's going, it was identified that the victim will die, and then Hikl Mashahaya, and then he got better, that the Halachi, and then he died, he's also part of a Misa. And the way all the Rishonim explained this Gemara, if in a case where he ultimately died, But just there was a time in between that he got better. The Torah already says that the murderer is not chayim misa. Certainly, if he got better and didn't die, he's not chayim misa. Why do I need two psukim? Explains the Rishonim, a very simple teretz. The Rishonim say that the chiddush here is that even in this case where that if we had only one pasuk, we would say that the pasuk is speaking about a case where they identified he's going to die and then he didn't die. But maybe in a case where he ultimately died, the halacha should be that the murderer is chayim misa. Kamash Malan, that even in that case, the murderer is not chayim misa. But ask the Gemara, El Rabbanon, but according to Rabbanon, if he was assessed to get that he's going to die, and then even though he got better, if he ultimately dies, the murderer is chayim misa, so we're back to the question, Trey Umdan Ilamali, why do we have to have all these cases in the pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Chad, one pasuk has come to teach us, Umdula Misa V'chaya, where he was assessed to die, but Baruch Hashem he lived, V'chad Umdula Chayim, where they assessed that he's actually not going to die, but ultimately he died. And to teach us, since that he was assessed to live, then that murder will never be killed. So where will Rabbi Nechemiah ask the Gemara, learn that halacha from? Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, Amdu l'chayim v'meis, if he was assessed to live and then he died, for that leitzar kra, there is no need for a pasuk. Once Bezdin exonerated him, there's no discussion anymore. Tanabonim. Hamakas chavera v'amdu l'misa. If somebody struck somebody else and he was assessed that the victim's going to die, and then chaya, he got better. Paitrim, I say, there's no question that the perpetrator is Potter. Amdu l'misa. If the victim was assessed that he's going to die, v'hekel mashahaya, and then ends up living. I'm a sheni l'mamin. How much do we have to pay for the damages? V'mach kein hichbid, and after we did that assessment that he has to pay because it's not a case of mis, it's a case of mazik. He dies. He pays the money. And he doesn't, and the perpetrator doesn't get killed. The second assessment doesn't have the ability to undo the first assessment. And we follow the first assessment unless he's completely better. In other words, we don't pay attention to the second assessment. Tanya Idach, we learned another brayso, Amdula Misa, and we assess that the victim is going to die. And then we see that Baruch Hashem, I'm going to say L'chaim, that he's Baruch Hashem going to live. Or L'chaim, if we first assess that he's going to be okay, and then he got worse, and I'm going to say L'misa. We continue following the original assessment. Amdu L'misa, we assess that he's not going to make it, and then Hekel M'ashahaya, and then he became better. I'm going to say, I'm a chain of L'mamin. We now have to make an assessment as if the perpetrator was a mazik. If after he ultimately dies, we have to pay the nezik tzar ripin sheves like a mazik pays. From when does those obligations kick in? From when he did this act. And this is following the opinion of Nechemiah that since he got better, so he's never, the perpetrator will never be considered a murderer. He's going to be considered a mazik, and therefore he has to pay like a mazik pays, nezik tzar ripu sheves and boishes.